Chapter 7. Going Wild at Woodford. Soon it was Christmas, and Rick and Becky arrived. We all celebrated Christmas Eve on the beach. The fireworks flew up into the dark sky, and everybody applauded. A few people ran into the sea, some with clothes on, and some without. Christmas Day was very enjoyable. The time difference between Australia and Spain is 9 hours, so I called my family to wish them a happy Christmas early in the morning, but they were still having dinner on Christmas Eve. It was a little strange to be so far away, and I missed our family Christmas. I also missed Emily. We talked on the phone, but it wasn't the same as being with her. We celebrated the day with everybody who was staying at the beach house in Byron. It was a very unusual way to spend Christmas, relaxing in the sun and surfing in the middle of summer with no reindeers or snow. We had a barbecue on the beach and then we played football. The Australians played against the international team. We were Spanish, Japanese, English, Scottish, German and French. And we won, of course. Rick and I sat on the beach, listening to some music that people were playing nearby. Then my phone rang. "Daniel, it's Matt from the market in Mullumbimby. Listen, I need a favour."
"What is it?" I asked.
"Well, I sell drums at the Woodford Marlene Folk Festival," he explained. "I've got a big stall there and it attracts a lot of people. It's an enormous live music festival near Brisbane, and artists come from all over the world. It's a fantastic 6-day event, and I go every year. The problem is that the couple that was going to help me can't come. They called me an hour ago. I thought that maybe you'd like the experience. I can give you a bed and food, and you'll have time to enjoy the festival. But I need you here by tomorrow."
"Okay, it sounds possible," I said. "But you said there were two people who can't come. Do you need another person too?"
"Yes, why? Do you know somebody?" he asked. "Most people have got plans for New Year or they've already bought tickets for the festival." Rick was smiling at me.
"Tell him I'll come too."
So I told Matt about Rick, and we arranged to meet him in Brisbane the next day at 2 p.m.
"Daniel, you're the luckiest man I know," exclaimed Rick. "I've heard about the Woodford Festival, and I've always wanted to go there. This is a great opportunity."
The next day, we met Matt at the entrance to the festival. The sight was enormous. "I had no idea it would be this big," I said to Matt as we drove through it. "I've been to festivals in Spain, but this is like a small town." The organisers bought the land in 1994, and there are now lots of roads and bridges leading to it, Matt said. "They've planted more than 60,000 trees here too, so it's really green. But it often rains during the festival, so it gets very muddy as well."
"We're here. Welcome to the Three Worlds Camp," said Matt as he parked his van.
We walked into a large circle of tents and other vans. There were sofas and old chairs all around. "Some people are staying here for more than 2 weeks, so we like to make it comfortable," laughed Matt when he saw the surprise on our faces. "Come and meet Jason and the rest of the group."
"G'day,"
said Jason with a big smile.
"Thanks for coming to help us. I think you'll love this week. It's a fantastic atmosphere here. We come every year."
"What exactly is our job?" asked Rick.
"Well, we need help in the cafe, and we also need somebody in the drum shop, so you can choose. You work for 6 hours a day, and then you're free to enjoy the festival."
"That sounds good," said Rick. "I play drums, so I'd like to help you in the shop."
Daniel can be your sexy Spanish waiter. The girls will love his accent. The next day, I woke very early. Outside my tent, there was a group of people doing Tai Chi, and I could hear Jason and Matt playing their drums. I could smell coffee, so I went to the cafe to have some.
"G'day, Daniel," said Matt. "Help yourself to breakfast. It's going to be a busy day."
He was right. People started to arrive at 7:30, and we were busy until lunchtime. There were musicians, artists, hippies, and even an Asian girl with a snake. A pretty girl sat down and played beautiful music on her guitar for us, and Matt accompanied her on his drum.
"Are you performing at the festival?" I asked her.
"Not officially, but there are lots of opportunities to play here," she said, "and I enjoy sharing my music."
"What should we see today?" I asked her.
"There's always so much to see here that I think the best way to enjoy the festival is to go outside and walk around," she answered. "You'll find something you like."
"Yeah," agreed Matt. "You've worked hard this morning. Find Rick and take a couple of hours to walk around." Outside, the festival was like a busy town during the Spanish fiestas. There were lots of places to eat and drink, and there was music and dancing everywhere. We followed the sound of bells and went into a big tent where Tibetan monks were singing. People were playing drums, and there was a smell of incense in the air. The sound of their deep voices in harmony filled the tent and vibrated inside me. I had never heard anything like it. We stayed until they had finished, and then we continued our walk. We walked around from place to place and danced salsa, African dance, and samba. It was all high energy and good fun. The week passed very quickly. Every day I worked in the cafe. It was different to a normal cafe job because none of the food or drinks had prices.
"I don't want to tell people how much the food costs," explained Matt.
Jason and I decided to experiment and let people pay only what they want to pay. If they don't have any money, then the food is free. I think that their experiment worked well. Lots of people were very generous, and we got a lot of tips. The cafe closed every night at 9 o'clock, and then the real party started. There were big bands on the large stages and small performances in cafes and outside the festival grounds. I saw flamenco artists from Spain, Aboriginal dancing, Irish music, and a big band with lots of instruments. The music continued through the night, and it was hard to get up early for work in the mornings. The best part of the festival was the New Year's Eve fire and lantern show in the enormous amphitheatre. In the centre of the stage was the Ark, Noah's Ark. All week, people had been making animal-shaped lanterns. When it was completely dark, the music started, and people, dressed as illuminated animals, walked through the audience to the Ark. Then they set fire to the Ark, and there were fantastic fireworks. The performance ended with a fire show. Almost 100 people dancing and throwing fire sticks into the air. I loved every minute of it, but I really wanted to share this experience with Emily. So I made a decision. I would call her and ask her to join me on my trip. 5 days later, Emily ran through the doors in the airport and jumped into my arms.
"Daniel, I'm so, so happy to see you."
"I'm glad you wanted to come," I told her. "I want to see Australia with you. You're the one who inspired me with your stories of woofing. I love this country, but I think that I'll love it even more with you here." I wanted to say more, but I was embarrassed.
"Tell me, where are we going?" she asked. "What are your plans?"
I laughed. "You're very impatient, Emily. You'll see."